There we go. All the switches in the right spot. It is good to be here. Let's see. A pediatrician in town always plays a game with some of his young patients to put them at ease and to test their knowledge of body parts. One day, while pointing to a little boy's ear, the doctor asked him, "Is this your nose?" Little boy turned to his mother and said, "Mom, I think we need to find a new doctor." All right. Okay, I'll try this once again. I know Brother Stevens tried it this morning. We'll see how it goes this evening. We got a few other people who weren't here this morning, so maybe the response will be a little bit better. But happy birthday, Americans. Amen? Hey, they woke up. Now, I don't intend to be very long tonight, just something real short, real brief here. I know that a bunch of folks are planning on going up to St. Cloud, and what a blessing that'll be, heading on up there and handing out tracts at the 4th of July parade. And if you're not heading up there, you'll probably go find and watch the fireworks somewhere else, amen? That's always a lot of fun. I remember going to Marine Corps base in, actually, Parris Island in South Carolina when we were stationed down in South Carolina and heading down to the 4th of July celebration on the Marine Corps base. They had the Marine Corps band out there playing out on the grinder, and then the fireworks were lit off after the music, and that was pretty awesome. It was a good time. And so we didn't really hit anything this morning concerning that, so I just wanted to take a little bit of time this evening and just talk about our country and talk about who we are as a nation just a little bit. Like I said, it's going to be very brief, hopefully just a reminder just to get our heads back where we ought be as Americans. Amen? During the American Revolution, the legal separation of the 13 colonies actually from Great Britain actually occurred on July 2nd, 1776. That is when the Continental Congress actually voted to approve the Resolution of Independence. That resolution had been proposed by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia. And after voting for independence, Congress turned its attention to the Declaration of Independence. And that was, of course, the statement that explained the decision of what we were doing as a country and as a set of colonies, that which got sent back to the King of England. And Thomas Jefferson actually was its principal author. And Congress debated that, and that document was signed on July 4th in 1776. Amen? And, you know, Brother Vlad had a great comic back there that just went really well with this here tonight. And it's, you probably can't see that at all, but Declaration of Independence is on the left, and looks like Benjamin Franklin, a bunch of people around Thomas Jefferson are sitting around the table all working on the, and it says, "The Untold Story of the Declaration of Independence." And somebody pops up and says, "I think we should start out when in the course of human events, Ben, not inasmuch as King George was a chowderhead." I thought that was pretty good. yeah, amen. But, you know, a day or so, actually a couple days earlier than July 4th, John Adams had written a letter home to his mother, not his mother, I'm sorry, his wife, and he stated this in that letter. He said, "The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival." And then he said this. He said, "It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." Amen? Amen? "It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows and games and sports and guns," I like that part, "and bells and bonfires," that's not too bad either, "and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore." I mean, that's a pretty good thing to say. You know, he said to his wife, he said, "This thing ought to be celebrated with as a day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." Brethren, that's where our country came from. That's where we started. That's who we are. That's what we're all about. solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. I mean, he was off by 2 days. He was talking about the signing of, when Congress actually passed the resolution to depart from England. But still, he had, quite a bit of insight. Quite a bit of insight in that thing. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We just have one passage of Scripture here this evening and a few other things we'll talk about. Like I said, we'll get out of here a little bit early tonight, get you a chance to give you an opportunity to change if you need to before you head out to St. Cloud. But in Galatians chapter 4, take a look down in verse 28. Take a look down in verse 28. Galatians 4:28, and it says this. It says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you once again on a Sunday evening, as Brother Steve has already prayed, grateful for the country that we do have. And Lord, you did a mighty work with some men back there in those early days in the colonies and the beginning of this nation. And Father, I know that in the course of human events, some things have changed since then. But Lord, we still have freedom in this country. And Father, we're still grateful for the opportunity to be where we're at in America with a book in our hand. And Father, have the opportunity to head out and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the folks around us without fear of being thrown in jail or execution. And I pray, Lord, that that would always be the case in this country. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know that under the current administration, reading a passage of Scripture that talks about freedom may kind of seem like an oxymoron. And I understand that. I suppose that in earthly terms, it probably is. But brethren, we're spiritual. We're a different breed. If you're saved here this evening, if you've been born again, brethren, you've got something that far surpasses what the Declaration of Independence gave us, although the Declaration of Independence gave us a very great thing. It sure did. We talk about this country, and Ephesians 1:3 says this. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And tonight, brethren, that's where we're at. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed nation. We are a blessed congregation. Brethren, the things that you have, the things that honestly that you and I take for granted, many other people in this world don't enjoy. And we have those blessings. And you know what? I don't care who's president, and I don't care what kind of things that they pass. I mean, I do care, but there are some things, brethren, that the government can never take away from you. And there are some things that we have as Americans that a lot of people do not enjoy. And brethren, we're blessed that way, and we ought to remember that. Don't forget, we're blessed spiritually as a country. We really are. It may not be perfect, and there may be a lot of room for improvement, but we're blessed spiritually as a country. Listen, we're not under England's rule anymore. You realize we could still be under the king? Well, the queen over there now, I suppose. You realize if the revolution hadn't happened, that you or I right now would probably be tossed back and forth between either Anglican or Roman Catholic, depending upon the wishes of the king. We would be in a church state. We wouldn't have the freedom to worship God and love God and serve God the way that our conscience dictates to us. We're a blessed country. In spite of our adversary, Barack Obama, the devil, I already said that. But in spite of the opposing forces against us, brethren, we live in the greatest country of the world, probably outside of Israel. Amen? And that's a good thing. That's a thing to be remembered. Many of you tonight have been homeschooled or teach homeschool or at least know somebody who's talked about homeschool along the way. Now, me, I was public schooled. But even I remember this, and hopefully you do too, brethren. You remember the shot heard around the world? Remember what that thing was all about? The shot heard around the world was a phrase originally from the opening stanza of a hymn that Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote in 1837. And it referred, of course, to the opening of the American Revolutionary War. And it describes a battle and the impact of the battle at the Old North Bridge in Concord, Massachusetts, on April 19th, 1775. Emerson wrote that Concord hymn as a dedication to a monument that was very close to his family home. And the words are meant to emphasize the critical, you know, the import of what happened at that location and the global importance of what that thing was all about. And that opening stanza goes like this. It says, "By the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled. Here once the embattled farmer stood and fired the shot heard round the world." Amen? Amen? So a couple of years before that, we had, thanks Jeremy, I appreciate this, we had the Boston Tea Party. Amen? And you know the story behind the Boston Tea Party, right? The king was taxing. We've been talking about this. I heard it on the radio somewhere. But they, with this new healthcare bill, one of the new taxes that's just been recently implemented is a tax on tanning salons. So if you go into the salon and you tan, you're going to be taxed on it now. That seemed kind of random to me. It seemed kind of random, but, you know. But anyway, but they were trying to tax everything, and they were taxing the tea, and the colonists, a bunch of colonists got together, refused to pay the tax, and they didn't know what to do with the shipment, and they refused to send it back to England. And a bunch of our forefathers got together and took that tea and threw that stuff into the harbor, amen? Amen? When we were out in Boston, we stopped and we looked where they threw the tea in the harbor. I thought that was pretty cool. Kind of a neat little thing in our history. But brethren, that happened, and then Great Britain started cracking down on the colonists. Started cracking down, getting a little more careful. He realized there was a little rebellious nature kind of going through the colonies, and he started to tighten the belt on our forefathers. And in 1775, General Thomas Gage was the military governor of Massachusetts. And the commander-in-chief of roughly about 3,000 forces in Boston. And he had a plan. His plan was very simple. His plan was he wanted to avoid conflict. So he decided to take on a few military excursions, by night, little secret invasions there on the sly. And he decided to go out and find out where these militias were stockpiling their weapons and go out and seize them. He started to implement basically gun control. And his thought was, if I can go out and take the weapons away from these colonists, they won't be able to fight back. And this is our history. This is what's happening in our country in the early days. And on April 14th, 1775, Gage received some instructions from the Secretary of State, the Earl of Dartmouth back in England. His instructions were to disarm the rebels who were known to have hidden weapons in Concord, among other locations, and to imprison the rebel leaders, especially Samuel Adams and John Hancock. And so, brethren, he set out to do that. This was a secret, this was secret communication that he got from over across the ocean in England, and he set out to do just exactly that, to disarm those American, the militia, and then to try to imprison Adams and Hancock. And that takes us up to the Battle of Lexington and Concord, where really the first military engagements happened that start the Revolutionary War. And that battle was fought on the morning of April 19th in 1775 in and around Lexington and Concord, just outside of Boston. And it marks the opening conflict between Great Britain and the 13 American colonies. There were about, on one of these raids, there were about 700 British Army regular soldiers that were under Lieutenant Colonel Francis Smith, and they were given secret orders to go and capture those militia supplies in Concord. And so they head out that evening. They got the letter, you know, they got the orders to take this raid and to do it by secret, by stealth. And so they headed out in the evening and went out to march towards Concord. And through very effective intelligence gathering, the Patriot colonials, they actually received word of what was going to go on long before the general actually received word. Apparently we had some connections back over in England that kind of let us know what was going on. And a bunch of our forefathers were actually ready for it. It's just kind of hard to believe after being in the Marine Corps for 8 years that a big part of this country's success of getting started was due to military intelligence. Another oxymoron. Sorry, Matt. Where's Matt Caribou? Is he here tonight? Yeah. But the Patriots had received the details about the British plans, and they were able to rapidly notify the militias of the enemy movement. And hence we have the story of Paul Revere and his midnight raid. Now, there were actually three men that rode out that night. There was a guy by Paul Revere, and there was another guy by the name of Dawes, and another guy by the name of Prescott. And basically what they did is when the British started this undercover operation to head to Concord and capture all these weapons, is they had this whole system of alarms that they had worked out already because they saw the times that were coming. And you remember the old saying, you know, one if by land, two if by sea, how many lanterns are up in the tower, and what was it, the old North Church? So they had that whole thing worked out, and that was actually a signal to a Concord in case the guy that was on horseback couldn't get there. But those three men took off, and they started spreading the word, and they started letting folks know that the invasion was actually happening. And that early warning system, if you will, took over. And a bunch of those colonists started up, and a bunch of those militias got together, and they came back to meet the British there in Concord. The first shots were fired just as the sun was rising on the morning of the 19th in Lexington, and the militia at that point in time didn't have enough people. They were actually outnumbered, and they fell back, and the regular British troops proceeded on to Concord where they searched for those supplies. Of course, because we had had the early warning, the colonists had already taken all the weapons and everything that were originally stored and conquered and moved them to other locations. I mean, that military intelligence stuff actually did work. It was kind of neat. But brethren, that's where things got started. At the North Bridge in Concord, a bunch of the militia had actually gathered together and kind of regrouped. And about 500 militiamen fought and defeated three companies of the king's troops. The outnumbered British fell back, and they actually started to retreat. And that's where the shot heard around the world was. It wasn't actually the first shot in the battle, but it was there that morning at the old North Bridge where that actually took place. More militia actually started to continue to gather together and mount the counteroffensive against the British. And the British stepped back in retreat, and pretty soon they were driven back and wound up meeting with Lieutenant General Percy for some reinforcements. And they had about 1,700 men at the time, and more militia from our colonies kept mounting together, and they kept up the heat, and they kept attacking those British, and they ran those British all the way back into Boston. Amen? You know, they kept up the attack. They increased in numbers, and they kept up the attack. They blocked the land access to Charlestown and Boston, and basically started the siege of Boston. And that's what inspired Ralph Waldo Emerson to write that Concord hymn describing the first shots there at North Bridge. Brethren, that's where we came from. That's who we are. That's what this whole thing was about. From there, the rest, as we say, is history. You know, Galatians 5:1 says this. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And you know, as much as we like to complain, I mean, that's just in our human nature. Brethren, we do live in a free country, and we've been blessed by an almighty God with a freedom that most people do not have. And you know what? As Christians, we ought to be grateful for that. We really should. And I know we are, especially here in this church. But brethren, we ought to be grateful for that. We ought to be able to stand up and stand fast in the liberty that we have in this country, like we stand up and stand fast in the liberty that Jesus Christ gave us when he died on the cross. Because of men like Paul Revere and, you know, countless others, listen, we enjoy the blessings of that liberty here in 2010. Some what, 240 years later? Something like that? Nearly? Almost 240 years later? 1 Corinthians 16:13 says this. It says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men." Stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Brethren, we're in a time of turmoil like they were back there in that Revolutionary War time frame. Listen, back there, there was no guarantee of liberty. You understand that? There was no guarantee of freedom. There was no guarantee of being able to worship God according to the dictates of your conscience. There was no guarantee that those things were going to be passed on, the things that you and I now take for granted. And here we are in 2010, and we're worried that we may not have that very much longer. And I understand that, you know, it would take a pretty catastrophic event to remove those freedoms from our country, but it's certainly possible, and we certainly are at the point where we're worrying about it. But you know what those folks did? Those folks did, you know, 230, 40 years ago, the same thing you and I ought to do now. Stand up with the liberty that we've been given. They took a stand. They took a stand for God. They took a stand for country. And they took a stand for their freedom. You're getting ready to head out and hand out tracts at a 4th of July parade tonight. You know, brethren, that's taking a stand. That's taking a stand for the liberty that you have, that we as Christians have been entrusted with. And that's putting basically our, you know, our money where our mouth is. This thing is real to us. This thing is real to us. Don't ever forget that. It's kind of a coincidence, but it's a remarkable event. Both John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, both men that signed the Declaration of Independence, and both men who were presidents, later presidents of the United States, you know, they both died on the same day, on July 4th of 1826, 50 years later, 50 years after signing the Declaration of Independence, both of those men died after having both signed the Declaration and then been president of this country. That's a pretty amazing feat. In 2 Timothy 2, the Bible says this. It says, "Thou for endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Listen, our forefathers had plenty of battles through that Revolutionary War to give us what we have. They fought plenty of battles. We lost plenty of good men in those battles. But you know, our spiritual forefathers endured plenty of battles to provide us this book and to provide us this Christianity that we have and this Bible we hold in our laps, and to give us what we have. Our spiritual heritage is an amazing, you know, is an amazing historical feat as well. But we're a free people. Brethren, we're a free people. We can worship God after the dictates of our own conscience. We can go hand out tracts if we want. We can stay home and not hand out tracts if we want. We can give a tract to the store clerk when we go get gas. We can talk to somebody on the street downtown, do street preaching. We can go down to a block party and raise our voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because of who we are and what we have in this country. And brethren, that's a gift that's been given to us that we've been entrusted with. You know what? It's our responsibility and it's our obligation to make sure that we exercise that for the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5 says this. Or 2 Timothy 4, 5 says this. It says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For now I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I told you I was going to be relatively short, and I really just wanted to bring that out to you and just basically say this, brethren, when you leave here tonight, when you take off from this place and you go out and you celebrate the 4th of July, remember what it's all about. When you celebrate, when you go out and you watch those fireworks, listen, remember the liberty that you have in this country to pass out tracts. Take advantage of that liberty that you have in this country to go out and publicly witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, stand and contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You know why? Because God put you in a country where you could do that. Amen? He put you in a place where you could do that. Listen, we have the freedom to worship God how we want. But you know what? Even more importantly than that, even if by some, you know, tragic series of events, all of that is taken away from us on an earthly scale, brethren, our true liberty is spiritual. Our true liberty is spiritual. Listen, we've been set free from the law. You understand, the Lord Jesus Christ came down here. He died on this on the cross on this earth so that we could be set free from the law, so that we could have forgiveness from our sins. The liberty that you and I experience being saved and Americans is phenomenal. We're free. In every aspect, every sense of the word, we're free. We've been forgiven from our sins. Listen, we've been set in heavenly places. And our home is secured. Everything that we have is already set for us. The Lord's just waiting for the right time to take us out of here. And listen, He's got eternity to show us the freedom that we have. What a blessing that is. Listen, we've been adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We're His kids. We've been adopted. Galatians 4:28 says this. It says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now." And that's true. "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Listen, as you leave here tonight and you get ready to take off, I just want you to remember Galatians 5:1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Amen? Brethren, the 4th of July is a great time in this nation's history, and there were too many things to mention that went on that have given us this day and this country. And yeah, I know it's not as great as we would like it to be. And yeah, I realize there's a lot of places where we would like to see it improved. But you know what? When you stop and think about it, brethren, we have something physically here on this earth in our country. And we have something being Christians spiritually. Brethren, we are free. We are free. I mentioned that verse this morning, "And the truth shall make you free." You know what, brethren? We've been made free. And let's use our freedom for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's use our freedom. Let's use our freedom to give God glory. And youngsters, you're growing up in a time where a lot of the freedoms that your parents and myself took for granted, some of them are being infringed upon. And it's going to be kind of hard for you to see just exactly the meaning of what all that was. But study your Bible. Learn about freedom. Study your history. Learn about this country. And then take what we have, and brethren, hold on to it. Fight for it. Earnestly contend for the faith, because we have the freedom to do it. And if there ever comes a day in this country where we lose the freedom to do it, you know what? Do it anyway, we'll wind up in jail like Paul and Silas, and we'll sing together. We can make a quartet or pentet or however many people we got, Jeremy. We'll make a choir there in prison, and you know what, brethren? We'll be free indeed anyway. In jail, in bonds, in chains, behind bars, spiritually we'll still be free. Because that's something that nobody can ever take from you. Amen? That's something no one can ever take from you. And we got to thank our Lord for that. We got to thank our Lord for that. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. We'll finish up here this evening. Heavenly Father, we, Lord, again, just come before you and want to thank you for just the many blessings that you've given us. Lord, you're a great God and a mighty God. And Father, you turn the course of human events in such a way that we could be born into a country where we were allowed the freedom to have a Bible, to hold it in our lap, Father, to read it, to choose where we wanted to go to church, to choose how we wanted to worship our Savior. And Father, you've given us those things, and we're grateful for them. I pray that there would never come a day where we would take those freedoms lightly. I pray that there would never come a day, Father, where we would turn our back and forget that the freedoms we have should be used to glorify Thee. And Lord, I appreciate all the men that sacrificed their lives and what they stood for when this country was first starting. And Father, for that matter, throughout this country's history. But Lord, I appreciate what the Christians over the years have done for us even more. Because they've given us a freedom and spirit that nobody can ever take away. And I pray you'd help us to remember those things as we celebrate tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got a song here.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Just like Brother Grissom said there, you know, you start reading about history and some of those things. One thing that always impressed me after studying church history was that, you know, something that maybe some of the Thomas Jeffersons and even the John Adamses of the world didn't really grasp even by their day. And that is the fact that what we enjoy, folks here in America, went not only back through John Adams and Paul Revere and those guys, but all the way back to the ash piles in Germany, Switzerland, Holland, England, where those people stood for the Bible primarily and died for Jesus Christ. We seem kind of far removed from that these days, but maybe those days are coming back. Amen? And in some ways, the patriotic sentiment is connected to the Bible in respect to those guys who were still carrying forth a battle for liberty, even if they weren't Bible believers quite like we are. They still understood that if a tyrant ever took liberty away, then there went the Bible and everything else that went with it. Let's turn to number 10. Let's stand. I'm going to turn you loose here. Not going to preach a second sermon or anything like that. Number 10, though. Reminder of where we're at, where we've been.
Thank you.
Amen. Appreciate it. One blessing is we have God as our protector always, right?
Yeah.
He'll never leave us nor forsake us. It's a blessing.
Yeah.
Stack Force needs to meet with Brother Dave. And those of you that are interested in going to St. Cloud, please get with Brother Steve back there and leave in caravan or whatever. Rest of us can be dismissed. We already prayed. So we'll see you guys Wednesday.
Amen.